We bless you, Master. We bless you. Hallelujah. Now I ask the Lord, Father, grant me the wisdom, the knowledge, and understanding, the deep things of your Spirit. Search everything in me that would hinder me from receiving your word, and remove it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, hallelujah. Praise God. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. How many of y'all are going through stuff? If you're not, you can take some of mine. Oh, glory. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, would you read it with me, please? But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. How many of y'all know we're in the last days? Perilous times. In other words, harsh, savage, difficult, dangerous, painful, fierce. I'm going to repeat some of these. That way you can touch with some of the, you know, get rid of some of these that you're hanging on to. Perilous times. I'll repeat a few of them. Harsh, savage, difficult, dangerous, painful, fierce. You want some more? Grievous, hard to deal with. I think that's enough. That's called perilous times. In the last days, there will be what? Perilous times. Let me tell you, how many of y'all know we're in the last days? Amen. If you don't, you know now. In verse 2, it says, for men will be lovers of what? Would you mind highlighting themselves? Hallelujah. Themselves. They'll be lovers of who? Themselves. Glory to God. Let's go on. Lovers of what? Money. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Unloving. Unforgiving. Slanderers. Without self-control. Brutal. Despisers of good. Traitors. Headstrong. Haughty. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people, turn away. In other words, don't hang around with them. Does everybody get it? Don't hang around with them. He says, turn away from them. Then he goes on in verse 6. For of this sort are those who creep into households, ministries, hello, and make captives of gullible men and women, load them down with sins, led away with various lusts and false desires. Always learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, they're always learning, but they can never grasp the full truth. They come, but they don't get. And there's a reason for this. The Bible says that we're not fighting flesh and blood, right? And there is a spirit I want to talk about tonight. We've shared a little bit before about it, but it's called the spirit of immaturity. It's called the spirit of immaturity. And it is a demon. And he explains it here now. He says, now as Jannes and Jabez resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress what? No further. In other words, they can't progress further. For their folly will be made manifest to all, as there's always or also was. Now listen, because of this spirit, it prevents an individual from growing. Does everybody get it? From growing. It's a spirit of immaturity. How many ever know some children that are immature? How about some adults that are immature? Amen. And, you know, and that's what one of the things that the enemy does. I mean, if you really think about it, that's why, you know, people who've been on drugs and alcohol for a long time never get a chance to really grow up. Amen. I mean, there's some powerful statistics also. It says, lovers of self, turn them away. Turn away. They're always learning, but they can't get it. They will progress no further, and they will manifest because they are attached to the spirit of immaturity. Does everybody understand that? I did not say a baby in Christ. I said a spirit of immaturity. That's different. A baby of Christ is learning, but there's an individual who has been learning but never can come to the knowledge of truth because the Bible says truth sets them free. But there's a spirit that prevents that individual from getting set free, and it's called a spirit of immaturity. Now, it also prevents growth according to the will of God, but has a false growth because it's the will of self. In other words, it promotes the will of self. So you may think an individual is growing because on the outwardness, it seems like they are. Does everybody understand that? But they're really not growing because they constantly do the same things over and over and over. Does everybody get it? And something's preventing them from being set free. In other words, they're always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So that person cannot grow spiritually. Does everybody understand it? Is everybody with me? This spirit is clustered with other spirits. I'm going to tell you a few of them. It's a spirit of pride and arrogance. It's a deaf and dumb spirit. Spirit of selfishness, covetousness, and disobedience. It's an independent spirit. These are all spirits it's associated with. Do I need to repeat some of them? In other words, when spirits are, they're always associated, spirits always cluster. This immature spirit is associated with the spirit of pride and arrogance, a deaf and dumb spirit, selfishness spirit, covetousness, disobedience. It's an independent. Amen. Spirit of betrayal. Now you may think that the spirit's associated with fear, but it's not. It doesn't have fear. It speaks whatever it wants and doesn't care who it hurts as long as it gets it. Hello? It's a very short-sighted spirit, and it can't see things through. Is everybody with me? It's a very short-sighted spirit, and it will not allow you to see things through. Is everybody with me? You get it? I want to repeat this. I share it again. It does not have fear. It's a bold thing. It speaks what it wants and doesn't care who it hurts as long as it gets it. It is very short-sighted and it cannot see things through. Everybody with me? Good. 1 Corinthians 13. Oh, hallelujah. And it will always become manifest. Why? You can tell the spirits by their fruit. Amen? 1 Corinthians 13. It is a spirit of immaturity. And what it does is it prevents growth. Oh, glory. But we're going to expose this thing tonight. Then we're going to break it. In verse 11, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Glory. Would you all read it with me, please? When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away what? Childish things. This spirit will not allow you to put away childish things. And I'm talking about how you respond to things or how you react to things in a childish way. Can't put away childish behaviors. Is everybody still reacting like a child? It lacks faith because it can't be faithful. And why can't, listen, if somebody's not faithful, it's because they're not operating in faith. Is everybody with me? Y'all understand that? This child does not operate, this spirit of immaturity causes an individual to prevent them from operating in faith. They are not faithful in the individuals. They rely on self-imposed talents. This is what that spirit brings. It causes an individual to rely on its self-imposed talents. It'll even cause that person to invent its own talents. Does everybody get this? It causes that person to invent his own talents. Because the Spirit's purpose is always to separate that individual from the Lord. Hallelujah. Cornell University did a study. Now check this out. 40% of the children under the age of 5 outside of China globally have stunted growth problems because of nutrition. Now, is that phenomenal? In other words, they either physically don't grow and mature, or mentally they don't because of nutritional problems. But, of course, they wouldn't know anything about the spirit realm, would they? Cornell University? Hello? Birthers of spirit of immaturity? You know? 60-year-old people acting like children. But anyways, they did a study on this, and they said one of the main reasons is because of nutrition. But spiritually, does everybody understand this? There is a spirit that prevents an individual from growing called a spirit of immaturity because it's stealing its nutrition from it all the time. Do you remember when I shared with you Sunday, I believe, when the Lord said to me, when I was driving here, and I was coming to service, and the Lord said to me, my children are eating junk food. I said, what? He said, my children are eating junk food because they're in places that I've not told them to go. And I thought, what do you, and I saw all kinds of places, you know, where there was fellowships. And I saw people in these fellowships that they weren't supposed to be there. And it doesn't matter, what they were being fed was junk food. And I thought, well, but it's your word. You know, I'm thinking, but it's your word. Doesn't it say that they can't hold on to junk food? Junk food has got no nutrition for that individual. I thought, wow. He said, that's why it's so important that you be spiritually positioned. Because we were told about being spiritually positioned so that you can prosper. Why prosper? Spiritually prosper. You know, when you spiritually prosper, you physically prosper. Y'all get that? And he began to show me all of these people and all these places and fellowships. And there were people in these places that because they were not in God's time and God's position, they were eating junk food. Because whatever was going in was not being nutrition to them. Does everybody understand that? See, that's why, see, God's will is God's time. God's will is God's time. If you're not spiritually positioned, you eat junk food. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Look at what drugs, addictions. Remember, we talked about that. I mean, look at how it prevents individuals. Remember when the first studies, I don't know if some of you are old enough, but some of the first studies when they had cigarettes, it said it stunned people's growth. You know, then they finally put a caution on there. This could be dangerous to your health. What do you mean could be? You know, that's when you just get a pack of cigarettes for 25 cents. And you can get them anywhere, you know, and the slot machines in the corners, you know, and those little slot, yeah, I guess they were like slot machines, whatever. You know, one of the things, even TV will cause an individual to stop growing spiritually. Movies and things. There are video games that prevent a person from growing spiritually. Does everybody get it? Of course, there's video games that open demonic activity. Some people become, and because of these things that they've touched and agree with, they've become couch potatoes. They call it couch potato syndrome. Look at the offsprings of addicted parents. Amen. They have a hard time in education. Schools have so many, they just pass them through. I've never run into so many people in my life that can't read or write, and they've graduated from high school. I'm thinking, what? What? And they can't read or write. And they've gone through high school. Because they were just passing them through. Now, is that helping them? No, it's preventing them from growing, isn't it? Lack of common sense and spiritual understanding. There's a lack of common sense and spiritual understanding, and this spirit promotes that. People can't get a regular, just normal common sense. I'm not talking about spiritual common sense. I'm talking about normal common sense. Hello. Yes, if you walk in front of a car, you will get hit. Duh. Green means go. You know, I'm telling you, this spirit, it's like a stupid spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I'm going to talk about something in the Bible that I really believe had this spirit big time. Turn to Judges 13. All glory. Judges 13. Glory to God. And verse 1 through 5. Judges 13, verses 1 through 5. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Sound familiar? They were out in the wilderness 40 years. I'm telling you, there was a spirit there, big time, of immaturity. What did they do? They grumbled and complained. You know why? Because they couldn't get their eyes off themselves. They are short-sighted and they can't see things through. That spirit will prevent you from seeing what your decision you're about to make all the way through. Oh, hallelujah. Now, there was a certain man, some Zara, of a family of Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no child, but you shall receive and bear a son. Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink and not to eat anything unclean." Wow. Now this is powerful. We need to tell a lot of pregnant women this. It really hurts my heart when I see a woman that's pregnant drinking or smoking. You know? It's like, man, hey, don't you see what's going on? I mean, why don't you just swallow a pack of matches and a pack of cigarettes? Let the kid light up. You know, there are people that the mother's addicted and so forth and can't get set free. Because they're not even concerned about that child that they're carrying. I know, and I've seen believers who are doing the same thing. They weren't using, but they were smoking. Talk about a spirit of immaturity. Self-centered. Selfish. Not concerned about the child and the effect of the child. You know, and it doesn't mean that the effect is going to happen immediately. Amen? It happens down the road. But see, they can't see that far. The only thing they're concerned in is that huffing demon. Oh, hallelujah. Okay. So the angel of the Lord told the mother, listen, man, no booze. No party. And you stay clean. Because this child that you're carrying is important. Now, therefore, in verse 4, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So we see that something was going to be passed on, wasn't it, from the mother. Amen? Glory to God. Now, we know that we're talking about Samson. Amen? Samson was brought forth to deliver Israel from the Philistines after, of course, 40 years of captivity for disobedience again. But I really believe Samson had an immature spirit, and he relied on his strength, and he forsook the Lord. Go to chapter 14. And verse 1 through 4. Now Samson went down to, is everybody there? Timnah, and saw a woman in Timnah of a daughter of the Philistines. So he saw a woman from the Philistines, right? So he went up and told his father and mother, and saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Woohoo! Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. And the parents were like, wait a minute. You're not supposed to intermarry. And then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all of our people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Now, I'm going to share something with you. I don't believe Samson went to the Lord and said, Lord, is this the woman for me? Does everybody understand that? I don't believe he prayed about this at all. Now, the next verse is kind of strange because it says that, so Samson women, but his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord. That he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So, the natural common sense would have said, listen, I shouldn't be doing this. Does everybody get it? I shouldn't be doing this. In fact, he should have obeyed his parents. But there was divine intervention. God was causing something. Does everybody understand that? That's what the narrator says. God was causing something to happen. Does everybody understand that? In other words, he was trying to cause something and make connection for Samson to infiltrate the Philistines. Everybody got that? Hallelujah. So listen, don't be using this, all right? On, you know, God wants you to marry the right woman, not to infiltrate someplace. Don't let that spirit of immaturity mislead you. Same thing with you women marrying a man. Hallelujah. In verse 8 and 9, let's go there. Moving right along. After some time, now some time is a long time. When he returned to get her, He turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. This is a lion he just killed. He took from it in his hands and went along eating. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they also ate, but he did not tell them that he had taken it, or the honey, out of the carcass of a lion. In other words, here's Samson. Wow, honey, woohoo! He went, shoo, picked it up, began to lick it and eat it, and got it all over his face, and was drooling off his beard, and he forgot he wasn't supposed to take anything out of a carcass. It was against the law of God. It was touching something unclean. And he just skipped over to mom and dad's house with the honey in his hand and dripping through his fingers and saying, look, mom, what I brought you. And dad and mom, oh, yeah, great. Now we're all cursed. No, you know. But they just ate it up, not knowing where it came from. That spirit of immaturity had no respect. Does everybody see this? Let's go a little further, shall we? Go to verse 12. Then Samson said to them, let me pose a riddle to you. If you can correctly solve and explain it to me within 7 days of the feast, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. But if you cannot explain it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen and a garment and 30 changes of clothing. And they said to him, pose your riddle that we may hear it. And he said to them, out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. Now for 3 days they could not explain the riddle. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband. Entice him, that he may explain the riddle to you, or else we will burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us in order to take what is ours? Is that not so? Then Samson's wife wept on him and said, you only hate me. You do not love me. You have posed a riddle to the sons of my people, but you have not explained it to me. And he said to her, look, I've not explained it to my father or my mother. So should I explain it to you? Now, she had wept on him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it happened on the seventh day that he told her, because she pressed him so much, that he explained the riddle to the sons of her people, that she explained it. So the men of the city said to him on the seventh day, before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? Now, first of all, understand this. Here comes Samson. Do-de-do-do-do. And he says, listen, I got a riddle. Big deal. I got a riddle. So he goes into the Philistines that have had the Jews captive for 40 years, and he wants to tell them a riddle. Talk about a spirit of immaturity. And he says, let's change. Listen, I'm going to do this riddle for clothes and garments. And he knew that if something went wrong, he would put his wife in danger. See, he couldn't see it all the way through. Because then what did they do? They went to the wife and said, listen, you don't get us this information. We're going to burn you and your dad. Why didn't she just go tell her husband? Does everybody see this? Why didn't she just go tell her husband? Maybe she didn't trust him either. Maybe she saw his fruit. Maybe she knew he had a spirit of immaturity. Oh, hallelujah. But he was boasting now. You got to understand, he was boasting the riddle on the sin that he just committed. Does everybody see that? He was boasting the riddle on the sin that he committed. And he was trying to gain from that now. Glory. Shall we go further? Why not? Now she wept on him 7 days, right at this feast. Oh, honey, come on, tell me what's up. And of course, she told everybody else, right? Now go to chapter 15. After a while, in the time of the wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife with a young goat. And he said, let me go into my wife, into her room. But her father would not permit him to go in. Her father said, I really thought that you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion, because she had told everybody, right? So her father thought, well, man, I thought you hated my wife because of what you've done, set her up with this riddle and put our lives in danger. So I thought that you hated my daughter, so I gave her to, of course, I haven't seen you in a while. So I figure I give her to your best friend. Okay. Her father said, I really thought that you thoroughly hated her, therefore I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister better than she? Please take her instead. And Samson said to them, this time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them. Then Samson went out and caught 300 foxes and took torches and turned the foxtails, turned the foxtails to tail and put a torch between each pair of tails. I don't know if he was really all there. I mean, this guy goes out and catches 300 foxes. I wonder how he held them all together. What'd you do after you caught one or two? Build a cage? Hallelujah. So he catches 300 foxes, right? And now look at this. And then he sets their tails on fire. You get arrested for today for doing that. You know that. And he went and set the torches on fire. He let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines and burned up both the stalks and the standing grain, as well as the vineyards and the oil groves. Then a Philistine said, who has done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he has taken his wife and given her to his companion. So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with the fire. Do you see what I'm saying about he didn't see any of this through? Because of his anger, first of all, here he is boasting about his sin. Then he sets a riddle to try to take stuff from the Philistines. Then he puts his wife in a position of danger. Then he grabs 300 foxes, sets their tails on fire with torches, and sends them in to burn the grain. You know, that grain was probably so close that you needed to just go to a couple corners. Bam, it was gone. But he wants to use 300 foxes. And then after that, now look what the end result was. His wife and his father-in-law burned to death because he could not see it through that spirit of immaturity. Even though Samson was strong and mighty, but yet he still held that spirit of immaturity where he couldn't see something through and realize the danger he was putting other people in that loved him. Everybody see that? Cool. Well, let's go a little further then. Let's go to chapter 16 and verse 1. Now, as we follow Samson's life, now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot. Well, he's batting 1,000. And went into her. When the Gazites were told Samson has come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, When it is daylight, we will kill him. Surprise. Go to verse 6. So Delilah says to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict you. Now, we knew Samson was going to tell her right then, but it's kind of like a repeat of what just happened, isn't it? You think maybe he would have got it by now? Go to verse 16. And it came to pass when she pestered him daily. Well, this sounds familiar. This is a boy from the Philistines. Now he goes to Gaza and shacks up with a harlot. And it comes to pass when she pesters him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. That he told her all his hurt. I guess he didn't know he was supposed to run from evil. And said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Well, Delilah saw money signs. She was hallelujahing to the wrong God. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the what? Philistines again, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. So the lords of the Philistines came up to her, brought the money in their hand. Hallelujah. Then she lured them to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him. And his strength left him. Sounds like a demon to me. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before. Why? He was relying on his strength. Do you understand that? That spirit of immaturity blinded Samson so badly that he was relying on his strength and forgot the holiness and who he was in Christ and why God brought him out from the beginning. He was not out trying to rescue the Jews anymore, was he? He wasn't trying to set the Israelites from captivity. He was out gallivanting and associating with the spirit of immaturity that was preventing him from receiving and going forward and growing. Does everybody see this? Oh, praise God. In verse 20, and she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he woke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. Ooh. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. See, he didn't even know. This is the powerful part. He didn't know that the Lord had departed from him because he'd been relying on that strength all the time. He actually lost what it was like to be in truly the God, the King of Glory's presence. That's all he was looking for, was now the strength. Now he was using what God had given him for his own gain. And he wasn't rescuing anyone, was he? Hallelujah. In verse 21, then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. Why? He was blinded before his eyes came out. And brought him down to Gaza, and they bound him with bronze fetters and became a grinder in the prison. However, his hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. But Samson never fulfilled the will of God. Never fulfilled what God wanted to do. In fact, he ended up dying and killing many of the Philistines, but it didn't cause the Israelites to become totally set free. Does everybody see this? All of this time with the anointing and the power of Christ that was on Samson, yet that spirit of immaturity could never allow him to grow. Learning, and never coming to the knowledge of the truth, he could not grow. His response was according to a child. He didn't grow at all. He still acted childishly. Why? Because it was about self. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Luke 8. Luke 8. Is everybody all right? Does everybody see that? Luke chapter 8. Hallelujah. In verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Everybody there? Okay. You read it with me? Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now, I want you to understand something. That the first thing that the Lord expresses is the devil. Does everybody see this? He's expressing the devil. He says, here's the ones where the seed is planted, but the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Let's go to the second one. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation, they what? They fall away. They are not rooted in fellowship. Does everybody get this? They're not rooted in fellowship. In verse 14, and the third one. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they hear, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to what? Maturity. Now these are the ones, now listen, who are in fellowship, but the problem is they haven't cut the wrong fellowship out of the fellowship. Does everybody get this? In other words, the Bible tells us that what? Bad company corrupts what? Good habits. These are individuals that are still playing both sides. They'll come, they'll get the word, whatever, but they're still associating. Does everybody see this? Oh, hallelujah. Well, what are thorns? Amen? Ouch. But it says that the cares and the riches and pleasures of life. In other words, they're still associating with worldliness, aren't they? They're still associating with individuals, associating with worldliness. Their thoughts are not fully on the ways of Christ. They're still associated with the things, and their mind is still set forth on the things of the world. And it says that the fruits will never mature. And let's go to the 15. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a what? Noble and good heart. That's humble. That's humble. Keep it. Whoa, they what? They keep it. And they bear fruit with what? Patience or endurance. In other words, they fight. They fight. They're fighters. Praise God. You know, a person that is short-sighted is short-lived. Hello? A person that's short-sighted is short-lived. I'm talking about in the spirit. That's why divorces are manifested. That's why marriages are broken up. That's why all kinds of things happen in the spirit realm, with the believers, because they're short-sighted, they're short-lived. That's why some projects have never been fulfilled or finished. Because they're short-sighted, so that project is short-lived. Does everybody understand that? Go to 1 Corinthians 2. Glory to God. First Corinthians chapter 2. Always learning and never able to come to the truth that sets them free. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Is everybody there? Praise God. In verse 6, would you read it with me? However, we speak wisdom among those who are what? Mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. For whose glory? Our glory. Which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of men, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the what? The spirit of the man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except for what? The Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the what? World, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. Well, what's preventing us from knowing these things? Spirit of immaturity will not allow an individual to grow or even get involved in the area of searching the deep things of God. He said, however, we speak wisdom among those who are what? Mature. Mature in this, he speaks wisdom to those who are mature or with understanding. Those that have understanding. And we know that the spirit of the world is associated with the spirit of immature spirit. Now remember, wisdom tells us what to do. Wisdom tells us what to do. So if the individual is immature, he won't know what to do with the knowledge. Decisions will always be incorrect. Or decisions that are made will end up hurting self or others. James 1, would you go there? Oh, hallelujah. An immature spirit will prevent an individual from growing. Spirit of immaturity. Again, I'm not talking about young babes in Christ. I'm talking about people that have been around, you know, and even in the world, that people can't grow. They're still caught up in immaturity. But it's time to mature, isn't it? It's time to grow up and kick out that spirit. Glory to God. James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 4. Are you there? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Praise God. How many of y'all love various trials? Yoo-hoo! It's good training. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The word saying perfect and complete, lacking nothing, that's saying so that you may mature. See, mature is a representation of perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. Patience or endurance, perfect work, that you may be mature, that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. Nothing. Oh. Does everybody see that? Cool. So you count it all joy, right? No sense in worrying and fretting about it. Whatever happens, happens. Praise God. So if you lose your house, you lose your car, you lose whatever thing, God is still faithful. No matter what. It doesn't matter. So if you lose your roller skates, there's another pair around the corner. Don't fret. Count it all joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 6. God knows. Daddy knows. Sometimes he has you hanging off the limb, flying down the cliff. He picks you up just before you hit bottom. Ooh. Glory to God. First Timothy chapter 6. Is everybody there? In verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with what? Godliness. He is what? He is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reveling, and evil suspicions. Useless wrangling of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. You know anybody like that? Don't look at your neighbor. Who suppose that godliness is a what? Means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. You know many people are using God. There are people who are using God. They're using God to become successful. You know, there are people who are using godly rules of sowing and reaping and becoming successful. But they're using God, aren't they? Because they're not giving the Lord the glory. Does everybody see that? So this spirit causes individuals to use God for selfish gain. Does everybody see this? It causes an individual to use God for selfish gain. Now I'm going to talk about some of the signs of this immature spirit, some of the fruities. Are you ready? Get your pens filled. The first one, I'm going to just talk about 10 of them. Hallelujah. Causes a person not to finish what they started, and then they boast on how long they've been a believer. Does everybody see the connection? In other words, there's always the excuse, man, I've been a believer a long time, I don't need to finish this. Does everybody see that? Now you got to remember, you're not fighting flesh and blood. What's happening is we're exposing the fruit of the Spirit so we can get rid of them. So don't be offended. That's one of the fruits of having the Spirit. Number two, blames others to excuse itself from making mistakes. It blames others to excuse itself from making a mistake and is easily offended. This is all number two. It blames others to excuse self from mistakes and easily offended. Let me share with you. Offense is used to protect. You offended me. Now I don't have to do it. You offended me. Now I can leave. You offended me. Now I can do this. You offended me. Does everybody see that? It's a spirit of immaturity. Number three. Decisions are self-motivated and anxiety is their friend. Decisions are self-motivated and anxiety is their friend. In other words, they're anxious for everything. Everybody got it? Decisions are self-motivated and anxiousness is their friend. That's a spirit of immaturity. Forget counsel. Are you kidding me? I might get an answer of no. I might know the truth. See, I figure if I don't know the truth, then I'm not accountable. Bonehead. Four. Runs to another project, place, or relationship. Runs to another project, place, or relationship when things get tough. And it's because of no discipline. This spirit prevents an individual from becoming disciplined. Runs to another project, place, or relationship when things get tough because of no discipline. This is a fruit of the Spirit. immature spirit. Number five. Has everybody got this? You all right? They can't reach a place where they can trust. They can't reach a place where they can trust or fully submit to authority. They can't reach a place where they can trust and fully submit to authority. Because of insecurity and an unwillingness to surrender control. I'll repeat that one. They can't reach a place where they can trust and fully submit to authority because of insecurity and unwillingness to surrender control. Do you ever get around a child who wants control of everything? Me, 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 me. Mine, mine, mine. Amen? Amen. Number six. We got another preacher in the house. And the Bible says we'll be led by babes, not immature spirits. Six, they can't discern God's timing. They can't discern God's timing because they are always led by emotional feelings. In other words, decisions that are made by emotion. So they can't discern God's timing because they're led by emotional feelings. Hallelujah. We were at a meeting one time, and we were in this room, and it was a small room, and I was looking at Mom, and I kept saying, "Man, is it hot in here?" And the person walked in who was getting ready to do the meeting said, "Do you feel the anointing?" I'm thinking, "I feel heat, but this ain't the anointing." And then I looked up and I said, "Mom, look at the register. Shut up there, man. I mean, there's no AC or nothing flowing in there." You know? I mean, the only thing I felt was heat, and it wasn't the heat of my dad. I thought, man. Mom and I looked at each other and started laughing. We were like, "Man, this is crazy." We knew we were in for a long haul there. Led by emotional feeling. "You feel the anointing? Woohoo!" That was heat, man. Turn the AC on. You know when it's the anointing. Everybody else is cold but you. You're the one that's hot. Why? Because you're feeling the anointing. Amen? How many of y'all feel hot? Well, then lift your hands and get hot. Oh, glory. Okay, which one are we on now? Seven. Are you ready? They can't keep their word because they can't keep their tongue. They can't keep their word because they can't keep their tongue. They can't keep their word because they can't keep their tongue, but they are quick to criticize and accuse. They can't keep their word because they can't keep their tongue, but quick to criticize and accuse. Has everybody got that? Number eight. They manipulate and lie to fulfill their own agendas. They manipulate and lie to fill their own agendas, and it causes immature decisions. They manipulate and lie to fulfill own agendas, and it causes immature decisions. Number 9. Is everybody ready? Money, fame, and ability is their best friend. Money, fame, and ability is their best friend because it promotes self. And achieves self-acceptance. To them, it achieves self-acceptance. So when they are recognizing their ability and so forth, to them, they're accepting. See, they can't come to a place where they've been accepted the way they are. Does everybody get it? They have to do something to be accepted. Everybody got it? Money, fame, and ability is their best friend because it promotes self and achieves self-acceptance. And number 10, y'all ready? They can't unite in fellowship because of the inability to reject separation between church and business. Now I'm going to explain this. They can't unite in fellowship because of the inability to reject separation between church and business. In other words, I'm talking about specific ethics. There are people that own businesses and so forth, and they can't separate. It's supposed to be one. In other words, your church ethics should be involved in your business ethics. Does everybody understand that? But they cannot reject it because the devil, that spirit wants to constantly separate church ethics compared to business ethics. It wants to separate business money compared to church money. Does everybody see this? So in other words, what it promotes, it says, well, then that's my money. That's my money. Or this is my business, or this is mine, or whatever. It cannot unite in fellowship. It has a hard time with that. It will prevent the individual from uniting in fellowship. Amen? Oh, praise God. Go to Hebrews 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Spirit of immaturity. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. In other words, they began to grow, but then they went back. Does everybody see that? Then they went back. Does everybody see this? Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12? Yeah. In verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, and he is a babe. Now, who's going to try to put you back to milk? Spirit of immaturity. Why? Prevent you from growing. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. In other words, mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hallelujah. In Philippians 3. It's a simple teaching tonight. Philippians chapter 3. You know, remember when the Lord quickens us to something, it's because it's something he wants to expose, to remove, or something that's coming so you discern now. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? Not that I have already attained or am already perfected or matured, right? But I what? I press on. I don't go back. Okay, I made some mistakes. I've done this. But I'm getting up and I'm going forward, not going back. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forget those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press forward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as are what? Mature, have this mind. What mind? To press forward no matter what. No matter what. Kick butt and keep going. Then I must, therefore let us have as many as are mature have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us be of the same mind. Amen? Let us be of the what? Same mind. And I want to close at 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Spirit of immaturity. Glory. Glory. Is everybody there? Let's read it. Verse 14. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord. Is everybody there? Oh, okay. Not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babbling, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth. How many of y'all know people who have strayed concerning the truth? What do you think let them out? Spirit of immaturity. Wouldn't let them grow, would it? They have what? Strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection has already passed, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, and some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. How many of y'all want to be prepared for every good work? Praise God. Well, then we got to get rid of the spirit and have discernment about when he likes to come around. Remember the cluster of those spirits. The Bible tells us we are not fighting power. We are not fighting flesh and blood, but powers of darkness. And you are fighting the good fight of faith. Amen? You are fighting. That fight is constant. It isn't just one day and gone the next. It's every single day. And we must fight no matter what. Now, Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you for your word. Well, Lord, we thank you for exposing the spirit of immaturity that tries to prevent us from growing. And, Lord, we just take authority, and, Lord, we repent in every area where we've touched and agree with that spirit, and we bind that spirit and command that spirit to loose us and to leave us in the mighty name of Jesus. And we command that spirit and every corruptible seed that spirit has imparted in us, we command to wither and die right now in the name of Jesus. And we break and loose ourselves from these spirits and send them to the pit in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, that afflictions may be stepping blocks of maturity in our life. Lord, that trials and tribulations will build the character of Christ in our lives. And Lord Jesus, you have paid a price for each and every one in this room. Let us repay in gratitude by taking dominion over these spirits in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we thank you, and we ask that you'll grant us, again, more wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and discerning of spirits. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give God glory. Amen.